Welcome to the Slow Living Podcast. If you are ready to ditch hustle culture for good while continuing to meet your personal and professional goals, you are in the right place. I'm your host, Stephanie O'Day, and I work with overachievers from all over the world who are ready to stop living life in triage mode and start living the life of their dreams, one filled with abundance, joy, and a sense of purpose. Life is meant to be enjoyed, not endured. Let's get started. Hi there, Slow Down Society. So if you're a fan of the podcast, you're going to absolutely love the book. Slow Living, Cultivating a Life of Purpose in a Hustle-Driven World is now available wherever books are sold. Buy it for yourself, your children, your friends, and your neighbors. You can get all the juicy details at stephanieoday.com/slowlivingbook. Trust me, this is hands down the best $20 you'll ever spend. Hi there, Slow Down Society. I am Stephanie O'Day, and you are listening to episode 188 of the Slow Living Podcast. And today I'm going to ask you a question that maybe you haven't ever been asked before, and it's something that came up in the past week or so in my real life through reading a book. And the question is, are you a cow or are you a moth? And it's really interesting because I've had this question in my mind for the last week. I guess it's been about a week, maybe an entire work week. So a Monday through Friday, and then the weekend. And what is today? Today's Wednesday. I'm recording this bright and early. It is 4:15 in the morning while I'm hitting record because this idea, again, was bouncing through my brain while I was trying to sleep last night. I thought, you know what? I need to just get up and hit record. So the question came up because I had stopped for this calendar year. So I'm recording this in the end of April. In 2025, the end of this calendar year, I decided, Steph, you need to have more fun. You need to do more fun things. You already know enough. You've already achieved enough. And I'm going to put achieve in quotes here. You've already done a lot of things. It's time to have fun. And so I've stopped reading nonfiction books, and I'm just reading fiction books. I'm just for this calendar year so far. And then the jury is out on whether or not I had more fun and if this helped or if it didn't. We'll see. There's a pin in that. But I was reading a book. I was reading a novel. And by reading, I was listening it to it in audio with my earbuds on 1.25 speed while I was walking Sheldon. And I think that's what's also really nice for me about this particular resolution that I have for myself is I'm reading in again, air quotes, reading these books through my earbuds. And so it's forcing me to stay active, to continue my walks. There are times when I'm close to home, but I decide to add on a few more blocks, because I'm at a good part in the book. So this past book where this idea of where are you a cow or a moth came up, I was reading The Third Wife by Lisa Jewell. And Lisa Jewell, she's a British author, and she's written, I don't know, 20, 25 books or so in their novels. And I am not reading in any particular order. It's just what the Libby Library app has in stock and what the Hoopla Library app has in audiobook, so I can read them. So this one is not a thriller. It's kind of more of like a character development relationship story. It's called The Third Wife. And at the end, the husband in question was kind of analyzing himself, and he realized that he was a moth, but he should be a cow. And with the idea that a moth is constantly flying and searching for the next light, the next shiny object. So I bring up shiny object syndrome pretty often on this podcast and definitely within my coaching practice. And if that's you, I'm not telling you that's wrong. I just want you to know yourself really well. And then the idea of a cow being a cow doesn't know necessarily that it's trapped in a field eating the same grass over and over and over again. And even if the grass turns yellowish or brown and kind of hay-ish, it still eats that same grass and doesn't know, because it doesn't have any frame of reference, that perhaps a few fields away, the grass is greener, or there's better grass, or sweeter grass, or a different variety of grass. The cow in the field, in the pasture, is just eating what's in front of it and knows that eventually the winter will come and the rain will come and the grass will green up all on its own. And so these are very distinct ideas, and it's very black or white thinking. And I am not a black or white thinker. I like to massage and when I have an idea, I can, but if, or kind of talk myself out of things, I can come up with different scenarios and different ideas, because I know in real life, it's not black or white thinking. There's many, many different colors and shades and nuances and variables in life. And that's kind of what makes life fun. And what's neat about humans is humans have great, big, huge, juicy brains. And so we can decide moment to moment, are we going to do this or that? Or are we going to do some variation in between? But when you're trying to change your life or change the trajectory of your life, at times it is very helpful and useful to revert back to kind of black or white thinking to get you on track and then create a plan with, for lack of a better term, rules and guardrails for yourself. So then you can stick to a plan for a predetermined amount of time before you decide to switch it up, before you decide to get into that gray area or different colored area where you're like, yes, I know I said I was going to do this, but now all of these other variables that I didn't account for have come up. So I'm going to shift off course. So again, that's the human experience. The human experience, we want to be in control, but there are tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of variables that you can't control. But when you're trying something new, having a this or that mentality, kind of a coin flip mentality, a path A or a path B or black or white thinking is very useful and helpful while you're creating a plan for yourself. And the idea of slow living is not necessarily to blindly and arbitrarily follow someone else's plan. You can look at people in your real life or influencers online or people in books or people who have written books and quote unquote experts for advice and for guidance. But the idea of slow living is to simply look only within and take those ideas and those inspirations and then come up with your own plan and your own rules and your own ideas, because you will probably be more likely to follow through because you're living your life. You're not living the life of whomever made up that plan. And so that's why I think slow living works so well, because it's not hustle culture. You're not doing it this way and you're going to white knuckle your way through it. And if the plan doesn't work, it's because you failed and you suck and you didn't try hard enough. And it's putting the failure solely on your shoulders.
Again, real life has ups and downs and all around. Okay, so this idea of a moth or a cow. Are you a moth or are you a cow? So this right now, I just want you to pick one. Just decide who you are right here, right now. Are you a moth or are you a cow? And only do black or white A or B thinking for this particular question, because that's who you are right now. That's a snapshot. And then think about who you want to be. And what you think will bring you from where you are to where you want to go in the most sustainable way. If you've been listening to me for a while, you probably know that I would prefer you to be the cow. I would prefer you to be the cow and to keep blinders on and stick to the path of which you've chosen. And you can insert metaphor of choice and do whatever feels good. But the idea that what you're doing is probably good enough. And if you have a plan in place, I would like for you to follow it. If you don't have a plan in place, that's okay. That's what I do. And I do it really well. And I help my coaching clients come up with a great overall vision for their life. And then we break it up in different pieces and different components with the idea that you have this great big kind of overarching idea and plan. And then you break it up into bite-sized pieces that get you to where it is you want to go in a slow, steady, and sustainable way. And it's the sustainability piece that I really want you to kind of focus on. And because if you're going through hustle culture, if you're following something, if you're creating this idea of huge sweeping changes that don't feel good in your brain and your body, it is not sustainable. And you will give up. You will definitely be that moth flitting around nonstop. And I don't want that for you, because it won't work in the long run. The only thing that'll work in the long run is a plan that you have chosen that feels good, that doesn't feel too stretchy. Because if it's too stretchy, you don't feel safe. So if you draw, not if you're driving, but if you draw a circle, the circle, and then write safe zone, that's where you feel safe. That's your security. That's, I envision child's pose in yoga, and you're kind of in this fetal position where you're super safe. That's your comfort zone. That's where you want to be. And then if you draw an outer circle, that's your stretch zone. That's where growth happens. That's where you're inching into something. You're trying on a new habit for size, and you have this kind of growth mindset, like, I don't know if this will work, but I'm going to try it anyway. That's where kind of magic happens. That's that outer circle. But if you draw an even larger circle outside of that, that's scary. That's danger. That's hustle culture. That's doing things that you don't want to do, but you're going to do them anyway because someone else is doing them and it's working for them. So you might as well. That won't work. That's not sustainable. So it's not healthy to constantly be in the fetal position, but another ring outside of it, that's the growth mindset. That's the stretch zone. That tiptoe into it here and there in every component of your life. But if you go too far into that scary danger, outer limit area, that won't work. Sometimes you do have to go there. And I use emergencies as an example. It's that burst of an adrenaline, that huge burst of fight or flight. Like I'm gonna do this, and I know it's a short burst, and I'm only doing this because it's a pure emergency. I've got someone in the hospital, and so I've got to take care of them, and I have all this other stuff that I still have to do. That's great. You can do these things. And depending on who you are, you might think, oh, wow, I was so productive today because I had this huge burst of adrenaline, this huge amount of cortisol. And some people, if they're not living a slow life, thrive on that. And they overdo it on caffeine and energy drinks. And they're trying to get into that state all the time because they want to be highly productive and do so many things that they can't even believe all that they've accomplished. But that's not sustainable. That's when you crash and burn. That's when you're in the feeling of overwhelm all of the time. So if you're that moth trying to chase that next fix, that next shiny thing, that next burst of sugar, of adrenaline and cortisol, it won't work. You will crash and burn. And I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. If you don't slow down on purpose, your body will do it for you. And I don't want that to happen to you. Okay. So right now, if you know that perhaps you are constantly chasing the next shiny thing, the next get rich scheme, or the next workout routine, or the next best way to get rockstar abs by sitting on your couch and eating pizza all day long, that's not sustainable. And so just kind of pay attention to that and see how you can begin to shift those thoughts and those ideas that someone outside of you is doing it better. And either they're going to sell you whatever it is that they have, or you're going to follow them, or you're going to chase them. I've recorded in the past the idea of ignoring online influencers. If you have been in the online space, and especially if you're an entrepreneur online, and I'll use me as an example of one, the idea that someone's email funnel might be better, or someone who knows Facebook ads and have a secret sauce and it's going to sell you their program. It won't be sustainable if you keep jumping from program to program. This happens in business. This happens with health. It happens with your workout routine. It happens with eating plans. The idea that if you just stick with one thing and put the blinders on, you will eventually get from where you are to where you want to go. Before I get argued with by you, perhaps, maybe, of, hey, Steph, I've been in my field, my literal cow field for a very, very, very long time. And my cow is now eating dirt and there's just no more grass. And it's time for me to leave. How do I go about doing that? And I've stuck with this for long enough, but there are so many red flags now that I'm so impatient and I know this isn't working. Okay. So maybe this came from a recent shift in your personal finances or your economic kind of landscape. Maybe you've lost a job, you have no choice, and you can't go backwards, and you do have to move forward and watering your patch of dirt and hoping that there's grass seeds in it isn't going to work anymore. That's okay. That's not being a moth. That's being super thoughtful and present and proactive. And that is an okay thing. What I just don't want you to do is flit around from shiny object to shiny object, but creating a plan does work. There's a really old school book called Who Moved My Cheese? And it's the idea, and it's these mice, and they're stuck in their worker cubicles, which is kind of like a maze. And they know that the cheese has moved and they can keep running through the same maze over and over and over again, but they know it's time to move to another maze. It's a very old school kind of parable book. Adam and I read it to our own kids. I think they were like 9 and 12 at the time. It was our older kids. I don't think we read it to the younger one. They still bring it up that oh, my cheese is moved, and ugh, remember when mom and dad made us listen to this stupid book about mice and cheese? So anyway, it is kind of a silly book. Every single library in the face of the earth has this book, so you can get it. So think about that, but do things in a slow, steady, and sustainable way. The three-step success formula that the new Slow Living book has broken up is broken up into our three parts. And the first is mindset, and the second is action, and the third is consistency. When you're in a good mood, come up with your action steps and then do those action steps in a slow, steady, and sustainable way. The Simple Shortcuts to Peace course walks you through all of these things. And that's where, if you need help coming up with your action plan, going through the Simple Shortcuts to Peace course and then hopping on a coaching call. And so taking those things and applying them to your own real life will help you come up with a plan that feels good in both your brain and your body. And so you feel aligned and you want then to take consistent steps in each components of the peace pyramid every single day. And to recap, the components of the peace pyramid are time management, health and finances, and then organization and relationships. And when you have an action plan in every single component of your life and you move forward inch by inch, you're not interested anymore. You're just not. It's sort of like in dieting when people have realized that they don't have food noise anymore. You no longer will have shiny object syndrome. You will no longer feel like a moth flitting around when you are so solid and convicted in your plan that like, no, this is it. Like, I'm so at peace with my plan that it feels good to get out of bed in the morning because I know bit by bit, inch by inch, I am moving forward in all of my personal and professional goals. Okay, before I log off, I want you to go back in time to the early days of this podcast and listen to some past episodes that have nuggets of wisdom in them. I've interviewed an awful lot of people on the podcast, and they have shared how they have made their own slow living kind of life come into play. And they're amazing and they're inspirational, but I really want you to be your own expert, to be your own like kind of a role model and cheerleader all wrapped up in one. And so episode 10, planning the dream. What is your dream? What when you go to bed and you're in fantasy land and daydreaming, what is that dream? Now, dreams shift and they ebb and they flow. So maybe in your 20s, your idea was to live on a farm and have goats and chickens and be self-sustainable and have a mini homestead. But now you're in your 30s, 40s, 50s, and you don't have that dream anymore. And so maybe you have the idea that daydreaming doesn't work. Dreaming doesn't work. No, I still want you to have a dream. I want you to have a dream for where are you in 20, 30, 40 years from now? What do your 70s look like? I use Steph in her 70s as an example. I want to be able to crawl around on the floor with my future grandchildren. I want to spend my day doing yoga and gardening and walking to the farmer's market and picking out vegetables and coming up with a great dinner and just enjoying it and savoring it. That's what I want my 70s to look like. What do you want yours to look like? And plan it out that way. 28, mindset is everything. Yes, mindset is everything, especially if right now you heard me say, I want you to plan your 70s and you rolled your eyes at me and you thought, God, Steph, I can't even plan tomorrow. Now you're asking me to plan your 70s. Yeah. So if you know that you're rolling your eyes at me and you don't have that mindset of daydreaming and shelving your disbelief and writing, we talk about suspending your disbelief to get people to acknowledge that these characters that you're coming up with are real and you're bringing them to life on the page. So I do want you to suspend that disbelief and come up with a mindset and a plan that works well for you. So that was episode 28. 32, dealing with disappointment. So disappointment happens. Real life happens. And it doesn't mean that you abandon absolutely everything and then move on to a whole new plan. Disappointment is a bump in a row. In the road. Sorry, I'm super congested because we are having a pollen cloud right now. And it's so early in the morning. I haven't used a neti pot or taken anything yet. Okay, bump in a road. So within that episode, I talk about the disappointment formula and I walk you through it. And it's to be expected. And so you have to have a plan on how you're going to deal with it. And that's what that particular episode is all about, is coming up with that plan on how you're going to deal with inevitable disappointment in life. 37, how to find your purpose. This comes up a lot. People email me and they're like, I don't have a purpose. I'm trying to plan out my life, trying to plan out my career. I now have Gen Z and 20 somethings writing to me and they're trying to find their path. They're trying to find their purpose. They're trying to monetize their passion. And so within that episode, I talk about that not all things can be monetized and you can have purpose. It has nothing to do with your day job, but it's what gets you out of bed in the morning. 43, imperfect action. Not all things are Instagram worthy. Not all things are a shiny TikTok reel. Sometimes getting up just means that all you did was brush your teeth and maybe half-assed a workout, maybe a half-assed work, actually your actual work day, maybe dinner was a bagged salad and some leftover chicken on top. And it wasn't perfect and it wasn't pretty, but you got through the day and good enough was good enough. And you just made it happen. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with you. Not all things have to be inspired. And that just, again, is part of the human experience. Okay, pretty people, where are you? Write to me. Let me know, are you a cow or are you a moth? And if you're one and not the other, and you want to be a little bit more of one, let me know. Write to me. I'm a real person. I will write you back. Steph@stephanieoday.com. If you want to track me down on Instagram, if you message me, I will message you back. If you are in the middle of listening to a particular episode, pause it. Take a screenshot and send it to me. And we'll shout you out in a story, in a reel. I think you're amazing. I think you're wonderful. I am so proud of you. Consider yourself loved and hugged. And I will be back in your earbuds again next week. If you are ready to start living slowly and ditch the hustle mindset for good, reach out to me. I'm a real person and you can track me down online at stephanieoday.com. Also, if you found value in this podcast, please share it with your family and friends and tag me on Instagram @StephanieOday. While you're at it, go ahead and leave a positive review on your favorite podcast app. The more we share, like, the more people we can reach and share the slow down lifestyle and messaging. Thank you, Slow Down Society, and have a great day.